Oh, what a lovely theme. A lovely sing-along theme. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we're here in the studio. Could have been Champion Saturday Soiree, the last, on ABC Local Radio, digital radio, streaming online. Great to have your company this evening. I love your work, Greg Champion.
Yeah, it's so easy to hum along with that tune, isn't it? You go, just the kind of thing you want to hum when you're in the shed doing the gardening.
Hello, Jeff Richardson.
Hello there, Billy. Hello, Greg. And hello to you listening. Speaking of which, you hummed along with it.
Mm-hmm.
People have written in over the years about this good, the bad, and the ugly theme that we use.
Yep.
We've been using it now for over 30 years.
Yes.
And I might get this wrong. It was either you, Billy Baxter, or it was your good friend and mine, Ewan Keddie, who insisted that we use the good, the bad, and the ugly as our theme.
I think it was Ewan.
And the reason I've thought it might be either you or him, because it was chosen for very cineastic reasons.
Well, we did spend 6 years at film school between us.
And the film, The Good, The Bad and The Ugly, perhaps the emblematic spaghetti western of all time, would you say?
Yes, yeah. You'd have to say so.
All other spaghetti westerns bow down before it.
Mm.
The music, of course, written for it by the great Ennio Morricone.
Oh, not just Ennio Morricone.
Well, I've got an idea.
But it's very unusual, because if you've ever seen the film?
No, I don't do movies.
Well, you should watch. If you're prepared to look up...
I'll just do myself a favour, shouldn't I?
If you're prepared to look up YouTube to find out things, look it up and watch the opening sequence of The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, because normally films, the opening sequence, you know, it goes for a little bit and then the film starts.
Mm-hmm.
But in GBU, it... It keeps on, that keeps on being revisited, much as the way the theme music plays.
Well, it served us well for over 30 years, but you know what? It's time for a new theme. Let's get a fresh one. Might freshen this show up here on Saturday
easy,
nights.
That's very easy for you to say.
Yes, it is, and I just did it, and I'll say it again.
But you've then got to come up with one.
Mm-mm. There we go.
Yeah, this is what we need.
That's my God. See? Okay, I think we'll stick with Good, the Bad, and the Ugly for one more.
Oh, dragon. That idea lasted a long time.
Well, the idea behind it was to freshen the show up, because who knows how much longer our soiree's got to go, and I just want to keep it as fresh as possible.
Well, about 2 hours and 53 minutes, I think.
That's right. And, in fact, it might be timely to say that this actually is the Could Have Been's last soiree for this summer and possibly for all time, although we will join you on New Year's Eve.
That's right, from Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. through to 2 a.m. You'll be able to find us on your wireless, ABC Local Radio, digital streaming as well. And I think you would be able to podcast the New Year's Eve broadcast, would you not, young Andy? Yes,
maybe so.
That is the case. But yes, Greg is right. Due to conflicts programming-wise with sporting commitments, the ABC has decided not to renew our contract for the soiree going forward. But we will be back in the football season with our Saturday morning show, which I think starts around March the 15th. But keep abreast of 8th, March the 8th. Just keep abreast of what we're doing on our Twitter feed, at Could Have Beens, or our Facebook page, Could Have Been Champions, or go to couldhavebeenchampions.com.au. We're sad about the soiree biting the dust, but that's how it goes. We'll still have a beautiful relationship with you, the listener, via our football show.
Don't be so philosophical. We're spewing. But March the 8th is coming forward. I thought it was March the 15th, the start of the season, but apparently it's March the 8th.
Yeah, they're starting early.
As Billy said, the reason for the cessation of the soiree is that, as he put it, conflicts with sport programming where there is expanding A-League coverage or sport coverage. Also, not only conflicts with sport coverage, but conflicts between ourselves with each other. We've been conflicting for 34 years.
Oh, we'll see. It's great to have conflict. That's where the creative frisson is born. But anyway, we're not going to dwell on that, because we've got a fabulous show tonight. Robert Bradley from the yacht Escapade is currently competing in the Melbourne to Hobart race, which is often shaded by the Sydney to Hobart, but the Melbourne to Hobart is a fabulous entity in its own right.
Yep.
I'll be featuring music from this summer series of the soiree. Jeffy, one of the things we love is to welcome young musicians into the studio and
Old ones.
And old ones. Share their music live. So we'll be profiling some of those. Greg's brought his guitar in, so you know what that means.
I was talking to a music lover, one of Melbourne's, in fact, most prolific attenders of live music, Billy, and today, and he was at a barbie, and he was giving me his 3-2-1 of favourite acts.
Yeah.
Henry Waggons is up there.
Yes, he's fun, Henry. He's been on the program.
Yes. Steve Hoy got into his...
Oh, good old Steve.
Yeah, because he's back gigging again.
We were on the same label, Steve and I.
And... what's another act like him? Oh, Charles Jenkins.
Oh, Charles.
Charles Jenkins got his...
And the Zhivagos.
Got his gold. And Ash Naylor, he goes to see a lot. There's just four of the live acts. All of... No, we haven't had Ash on the program.
Haven't had Ash in.
We better do it on New Year's Eve. He'll have a gig.
He'll have a gig. But we might get him on during the footy season.
That's a good idea.
Because
he loves football. Unfortunately, Collingwood.
Ah, well, at least he's got his health, as you're...
As you say.
As you say.
As they say.
And you might have noticed, listener, that Ian Cove is not with us currently. He's out on assignment. He'll be joining us halfway through this hour, we hope. And we value your contributions, 1-300-800-222, 1-300-800-222. This was an act we shared with you during the year, the Twocks. Zanny Kolak and Mark Lay, who perform as the Twocks, and that track was called Sailing Away, recorded by our own young Andy, one of the many fine acts we've had in over the last decade here on the Soiree.
And a nice thing in the title too, given that it's a little fiddle piece, of course, you know, there's a wonderful traditional fiddle piece called Sail Away Ladies. It's been... done in different versions by different people, and people have done guitar versions. Originally a fiddle tune, I think, from it's at least as old as the middle of the 19th century. So Sailing Away is a nice sort of nod to Sail Away Ladies. Maybe before the end of the show we might play someone or other's version of Sail Away Ladies.
If you say Sail Away, which American singer-songwriter do you think of immediately?
Well, I was going to go Rod Stewart, but he's not American. Sailing Away. Sailing will take me to where I want to be.
I think of Randy Newman.
He actually was Sail Away.
Yeah.
But I would think of Uncle Bunt Stevens, who was... the first known recording of Sail Away Ladies.
Well, as you would, Jeff Smithsonian Richardson.
Yes.
What's the field recording guy? That's you.
Oh, yeah. The fellow who went and got the...
Alan Lomax.
Yes, Alan Lomax Richardson. Yes.
No, I still think of We Are Sailing, as well as Christopher...
Which was the Sutherland Brothers.
And Quiver.
As well as... Rod Stewart?
Well, Rod covered the Sutherlands. Very good taste, Rod. He had a very good knack for picking really good songs out of obscurity and turning them into hits.
Now, Greg and I like very similar music and agree on it, but I find, and Greg might back me up on this, the two hardest sells for me have been trying to get people to listen to Rod Stewart with an unbiased ear, but even more so, the Steely Dans with an unbiased ear.
Well, that is a whole night and a whole essay, whether Steely Dan are meritorious or not. We certainly believe they are. Those who dislike them have their reasons, and, of course, if we get stuck into them now, we'll be going all night.
Look, I think they're meritorious. They're just not to my taste. That's a third way.
Now, talk about taste, boys.
Ever the diplomat.
Today, I had to get a little DVD player for the kid. So in plugging it in, I had to turn the telly on. On the telly was Stones Live in Hyde Park, come
recently.
Back. Yeah. How long ago was it?
I saw about 2 seconds of that.
Today?
Yeah. A couple of years ago, was it not?
Who was the fat bloke playing the acoustic guitar?
Oh, I didn't see no fat bloke play acoustic.
He wasn't one of the Rolling Stones. Well, he was right there in the middle of
it. So this one, we had to stop and watch it for a while because the 11-year-old was certainly getting a Stones education.
Mm.
There were how many? I think maybe 80,000 in Hyde Park. The thing that struck me most was the smallness of the sound. So Stones, true to their organic roots, just had the two guitars, yep. The had a guy on keys, the bass and drums.
Yeah,
I didn't see any girl backing vocalists. There weren't any. So,
well, they're very thrifty, the Stones, these days. Well, didn't want to engage anyone on Sunday rates.
A different time because they had the two. They had Keith and the other bloke.
Yeah.
And then there was this other guy who, Brian, there was this other guy who I didn't recognise who was playing a great big, looked like a Gibson Jumbo.
Let us know, listener. 1-300-800-222. Might it not have been Mick Taylor?
Ronnie Wood's the
regular. Yes, but Mick Taylor came back for that concert and did some songs.
Oh,
did
he? I see.
Yes, this is why I'm saying Mick Taylor.
There you go.
And what did you think of the big, like, model's catwalk?
I loved it. I loved everything about it.
Stuck out into the audience for Mick to prance up and down.
I loved the prance. I loved everything. I loved how every... You know what? There seemed to be low energy out there, but that's just from the way the way it was filmed.
Mm.
But low energy or not, every face was singing every lyric of every song.
Are you going to go and see them next year when they tour?
No, but I was told today that one person snapped up the last front row ticket for 600. Just got one ticket at 5 past 9 off a 9 o'clock opening.
Really?
In the front row for 600.
Awful lot of money.
It is rather. However,
that's more than I paid for my first car.
But they are an institution, and for good reason, Bill Baxter.
I saw them once down there at that Melbourne Cricket Ground, and it was a fabulous concert, and one that I'll remember forever.
And the beauty of it was just small, organic, no tricks with the sound, no special effects.
What about when the fireworks went off?
Well, I see I wasn't watching that bit.
Does that not count as a special effect?
But to see Keith just doing his thing, Ronnie's doing his thing, Charlie is doing his thing, whoever was on bass was doing his thing, whoever was on keys was doing this, but just a humble, organic little combo, rocking in their way, beautiful.
Rocking.
It works for 80,000 people.
If it's rocking, don't bother knocking. Tom has joined us.
Yep.
You'll love what Tom wants to talk about. Tom's in Dover, Delaware, in the United States of America. Hello there, Tom.
Greetings, fellow Earth travelers.
Hi, nice to Tom. Talk to you.
It's a pleasure to speak with y'all.
Tom?
I just wanted to tell you, Greg and Jeff and Billy, that you guys put on the best shows, and last week's was absolutely a ripper because Wayne, Tony, and Greg just put on a marvelous show.
Wasn't it fabulous, Tom?
Absolutely. And, that's one of the reasons I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to listen.
Well, for our listeners who weren't able to listen last week, Greg came in with his band, the Useful Members of Society, and played, for the whole hour? Wasn't it, Tom, just about?
Yeah.
It was absolutely spectacular.
Well, glad you like it, Tom. And I noticed, Tom, that you've also, and you, of course, live in the States, and you're a regular and dedicated listener to ABC, and not just to our program, but to many ABC programs nationally in Australia, and that you've spoken on air with a couple of other programs in the last day or so.
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
You'll be.
I also got to speak off air with a couple of people as well.
That's nice.
And wish them a happy holidays.
It's great to have you on the ABC local radio family, and we're going to miss you, Tom. But how about you, I don't know what the calibration on your clock will be, but you can phone in on our football broadcast through the Australian winter.
That'll be in the afternoon, yeah.
Oh, that's an easy do for you.
No, it's not. That's when I'm sleeping. No, I'm awake. I'm wide awake right now.
All right.
3:23 in the morning here. So, hey, go figure.
We appreciate the fact that you get up in the middle of the night to listen to the program, and you've been doing that for some time now, haven't you?
Yeah, you guys have been for a couple of years, since the bushfires.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that's the first day I heard you. You guys were doing a soiree on a bushfire night. And
that's
I was
right.
Like,
and how
yeah, because I was listening to the news, and the news said switch to local radio, and I tuned in, and I got Rod Quinn.
Yes.
And he was doing the overnights, and I just stayed listening to 774 all day then.
Wow. And a beautiful relationship was formed.
Absolutely, and here you guys are, and here I am. So,
well, Tom, I hope you have a wonderful 2014.
Yes.
I hope you guys do too. I hope it's a happy, healthy, and prosperous 2014 for everybody.
Also,
you know,
good on you, Tom, so, and give Max the Wonder Dog a pat on the noggin for me, will you?
I will do that by reaching under the desk right now.
Scratch him under the chin.
Oh, well, he doesn't like that
much. Okay, fair enough. All right, over and out, Tom.
Thanks.
Peace and love, guys.
Good night,
Tom.
Bye-bye. Good night or good evening, depending on where you are.
Yes. You can call us on 1-300-800-222. That could have been Champion Saturday Soiree. Another regular contributor over the past couple of seasons has been on the other side of the country in Perth. Hello, Ace.
Oh, Cooters, hello. And hello, Australia, on a fantastic day three of the fourth test. And I must say, from the other side of the country, and good evening, afternoon, morning, Tom, whatever time range you're in. I don't really know at the moment.
Yeah, mid-morning for Tom, about 3 mid-morning. O'clock in the morning.
Well, I'm glad that he's still listening, and I'm very glad to be segueing after him into the fabulous work of the 2x3-for-1 that happened today at the cricket. And we had a bit of a posse going at one of the local establishments here in Perth as a day three treat after, of course, we wrapped up.
Give us a pricey, Ace, because I'm not up to speed on the test results. So give us a little wrap-up there.
Australia need 201 runs to win with 2 days to spare, 10 wickets in hand. England at some stage today, I think were 1 for 86, and then they were 4 for 87.
Right.
A very unfortunate left arm little throw that I think went to the stumps and really broke the back of the Indian top, sorry, the English top order. And then, of course, there was a little bit of a late charge to try and get some runs through. And, of course, then we have Lyon. And I said, we looked down the side, there's Lyon. Where's the witch in the wardrobe? Because, by golly, the English team capitulated in such a fantastic way today. And we had to have some tasty beverages and clapping a lot today. About the triumph of the Australian cricket team and their significant pummeling.
Ace, I've got a question for you. For calendar year 2013, how many tests do you reckon Australia have played?
Good question. They have played on England, that would be for 03. So there's 9, and then there would be those 3. 12?
More like 15.
Right, I missed those.
Do you reckon they've won more or lost more?
Hold on now. It's the series. Reckon you win more. Oh, give me a draw.
What happened in India, Ace?
We got pummeled.
Well, there's your answer.
But they did beat Sri Lanka in calendar 0-1-3. So I think if Australia wins this test, they'll just about square the ledger. I think it'll be something like 7 losses, 6 wins, 2 or 3 draws, something like that. They'll just get back to 50-50.
And don't forget, they also could only rack up 165 runs in the first dig, so 201, you never know.
Let me just say this, gentlemen, as a backup for that, and that is very simply, it's 3-0.
Well, we're thinking about our English listeners as well, and we're trying to be respectful.
Gentlemen, I was in the Barmy Army on first day singing God Save the Queen and Advance Australia Fair with a... I was shake, rattle and roll. I was wearing a shake outfit.
Well, that's what we like about you, Ace. You're ambidextrous. Lovely to talk to you, Ace.
Thanks, Ace.
Lovely to talk to you, Ace, over the journey. We shall continue with our soiree. And wish you well for 2014. This is directed to you, Jeff, from a contributor to the SMS. And Jeff, I took my 12-year-old to the cricket today, and I think he might be a purist. He wanted nothing to do with those reversible sponsored signs, refused to take part in the wave, and applauded the Englishmen when they did well. He even read a book during the interval.
Oh, fantastic.
That's what
that,
you need.
That 12-year-old, he or she is the future, not just of Australian cricket, but of Australia.
That's good for Australia. Well, it's good for cricket.
Good for Australia.
Well, I suppose it's good for everything, isn't it?
Purism.
We did have a pointer to your performance last week with your band, the Useful Members of Society. I think we should revisit that, Champy. How do you feel about that?
Bex, you're in charge.
I don't know why I love you, but I do. But I've got to clear my mind. I don't know why I love you, but I do.
F sharp.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
And the crowd goes ironic. Greg Champion and the Useful Members of Society in the studio last weekend.
Yep, rough but garage.
And beautifully recorded once again by young Andy, our producer through the double glass. From the Twitter, gents. Gary says, hi, Kudabeans. I taped your last Sunday show in the mid-90s. It was sad to lose you then and again now. Thank you, Gary. But you won't need to tape tonight's show because it'll be available on podcast. Mm. As of Monday, just go to abc.net.au/Kudabeans. Follow the link to the podcast's page and you can relive the program. Edited highlights there of how long does the podcast run, Andy? An hour and a half or whatever it seems not to...
Andy's,
ridiculous.
And he's holding his arms out like a fisherman describing how big the fish was. He caught and let go.
I take that to mean how long's a piece of string?
Mm.
How long is a piece of string?
Mm. Well,
that one really makes you think.
Well, how about this? Is a piece of string half full or half empty? If a piece of string falls in the forest, did it really fall?
Does anyone hear it?
Yeah?
Food for thought. Maybe the listeners can answer those because we're just
not interested.
Young Andy says each hour's available as an individual podcast file and is the program in its entirety, so you can follow it through episodically.
Episodically. That's a rather big word, but we know where you're coming from.
That's right. If you're used to watching shows on telly, you probably know what it means.
Mm. But I'm not.
I know.
I haven't watched a telly show for some long time now.
It's great to have your company on the soiree, the Saturday soiree. Directly, we'll be talking Melbourne to Hobart yachting. The Brothers Isley, the Isley Brothers. Ronald on lead vocals with Marvin O'Kelly, Rudolph, Marvin and Vernon.
But what was the thrust of the song? What was the message?
I couldn't decipher it. I didn't know what they were on about. Something about loving.
Yeah.
Something about wanting and something about witting.
Look, it was the 60s, Billy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it was... a watershed release for Stephen Stills and marvellous interpretation by the Isleys. And that was from 1970. And in the mid-60s, young Jimi Hendrix spent a time in the Isley Brothers and learned a lot from, I think it was O'Kelly Isley, who was the lead guitar player, pioneered a lot of wah-wah in funk as well.
Well, in music, they have a term called... labouring the hook. And I think LTH was taking place there where I reckon the Isleys sang the hook 20 times straight.
I take no issue with that.
I think they were liberated by that, Greg. And I think also that they did that song very true to what Stephen Stills intended, with lots of do-do-do. And I think he got freed by that and was able to then use do-do-do in another song that was also a hit. Now, you're not going to get that much mileage out of do-do-do-do-do without labouring the hook.
I did fail to take into account it may have turned into a mantra.
Meditation. Does that make it okay?
Van Morrison took on board too. Listen to the lion. Love. A lot of repetition and mantric repetition.
Mantric.
Van the mantra.
Also, could have been champions here. Go to our Facebook page and have a look around, wander through it, leave a message for us. There's some fun photos there. There'll be more tonight. Or you could go to Twitter at Coulda Beans and join in our discussions. And you can always give us a bell, 1-300-800-222. Or it's never too late to send us a letter in the old fash, Champy.
You would write to Coulda Beans, ABC, GPO Box 9994, Melbourne 3001. We only put the post box in Melbourne because we broadcast from Lithgow, but everything goes through Melbourne. Melbourne controls everything, and then they come to us at Lithgow.
Yeah, how was your Christmas, by the way, you two?
Very good.
I forgot to ask.
Very, very good. Jeff, you usually host. I remember I had that pre-Christmas magic that I told you about last week with the market who fixed our trolley for nothing and sort of set it up. No, it went extremely well.
Did you host?
Yes, we did.
Mm. Numbers?
Not quite the
it's usually 35 around it.
Not quite that many this time. It was more around the mid-20s this time.
Generations.
Oh, that's doable.
Still good.
And all cooking the meat on that little barbecue as seen on our Facebook page.
No barbecuing done at Christmas. The turkey's done.
Good spread of generations.
Wonderful spread of generations, although we were a little bit light off the top and the bottom this Christmas.
Not the very old and the very young?
A few of the very old didn't attend and some of the very young didn't attend, but it was still a good spread.
And what about you, Champy?
Normal family mob at lunch and then hosting orphans.
Oh, that's so, always fun.
Hosting so-called orphans who don't have a better offer. On Christmas Day.
Whose families are elsewhere or they don't...
Have too many?
Yeah.
Yeah, we always end up with one or two of them.
Yeah. Now, the hosting orphans thing works well because you've come from about 25 at the family lunch mob to the four or five, and you park out on the deck on four stools, and four or five can be a very, very comfortable number.
Do you have a hootenanny?
Is it orphans
only? In our minds.
Is it orphans only?
Well, it began that way, and then others drifted in, and the orphan group grew to back to 25 again.
Hey, you don't sit around on those stools and play the ukulele? Because one of your orphans would be a ukuleleist, wouldn't it? Would that be young Nage?
Two or three of the five were in the ukulele group, have that ukulele performing band. So the ukuleles weren't got out. Oh, yes, the guitar did get out. Of course it would, and you jam a bit. So a very nice, pleasant day. And Boxing Day took the Coulda Beans to the MCG to broadcast on the concourse. Most enjoyable. And
I think we're going to replay in the last hour of the program, listeners, a snippet of an interview, or if not the whole interview, we did with the Guardian cricket writer and former England Test cricketer Mike Selvey. And we all know Champy. Have you brought the Guardian in this week?
I've since, Mike spoke to us only 2 mornings ago on Live on Air. I've since opened my Guardian and seen his name there
you go.
And read his report.
Did you feel special?
I did. I know this
and
bloke.
Now
I know
when that you bloke. Read them, do you hear it in his voice?
Yes, knowing. I read it now with proper English accent like Mike had. Not like that one either. That's just the only one I've got.
No, he was just, a lot of fun. That's just something from Steptoe and so.
Yeah. So we met Mike Selvey, cricket writer for The Guardian, and former test player of three tests, we believe. Quite a big, strongly built lad.
Well, in his first test, in his second over, he's only bowled Viv Richards for four.
Yes.
So that's not a bad start to your career,
so
isn't it?
Viv couldn't say, you know where it is, go and get it. you know what it looks like, go and fetch it.
If I bowled Viv Richards out when I was a callow youth in my first test in the second over, I would have said, oh, no, you can stay in, Viv, it's all right.
So
you'd invoke backyard rules.
And Mike's report that I read in The Guardian was a little after the third test, I think, so it was a little behind what we've seen in the current test. where 9 wickets fell today, all English, in what might be a happy day for Australian fans, and hopefully for all cricket fans.
Yeah.
English ones aside.
Could have been Champion Saturday soiree. We're winding up to talk yachting, but in the meantime, let's take one of two trains. You take that one, I'll take this one.
Fine.
In 1966, I found my love. In 1967, I had a
Little Feet from 1973, from the album Dixie Chicken, Two Trains.
And if you, as Billy suggested during the song, were going to play some of those songs off that record in your band, because that is arguably their finest record. Certainly it's got their probably best known bunch of songs, wouldn't you say, Bill?
Yeah, look, Sailing was pretty good.
Last Picture.
Roll 'em Easy is on this as well as Two Trains. But their first half a dozen records were all the Lowell George
Dixie
records.
Chicken is
fabulous.
Yeah, a killer song on this, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But the one I'd go to first is Sunrise, On Your Way Down.
Yeah.
Sunset.
Have you got your guitar handy? Do you want to throw one together? We're having a little trouble getting to Robert Bradley from the Yacht Escapade, probably because they've engaged as a change come through, quite a strong change too, in the Melbourne to Hobart Yacht Race, so he might be all hands on deck.
The boat phone not working.
Mm. Hello to Anthony too, who sends his best wishes to us over there from Adelaide. Thanks, Anthony. Lovely to have you on board and listening, and hope you will continue to do so throughout the next football season or two. That is a little Chinese folk tune called Tuning.
It's got new strings.
Really?
That means you better tune it before you start playing it.
Very much so.
Or you could be embarrassed. Right.
I love the squeak.
Sunrise, sunset. Since the beginning, it hasn't changed yet. People fly high, begin to lose sight. Can't see very clearly when you're in flight. Well, it's high time that you found the same people you refuse on your way up. You might meet up on your way down. On your way down. Vintage wine from the year 62. I don't remember what came next. How about you?
What a song. I believe written by Alan Toussaint. Or Toussaint.
Or Toussaint, yeah, beautiful track. You play that very well.
It's just got a great bunch of chords.
Sorry, Jeffy.
That's me. Yeah, no, I just didn't take long for Little Feet to get you going.
Mm. When that Dixie Chicken album comes across the radar, that's the one that you'd most like to tackle.
Do you have any of their work in your Useful Members Society?
Well, no, but I went to see them live. Were you there?
No, sir, I wasn't.
Only about a year ago, wasn't it? About 18 months?
Oh, yes, I did. It was on the same bill as Leon Russell.
You were there.
I was disappointed because it sounded like prog rock, largely. The keyboard player had taken over and hijacked the whole thing.
Not that you've got anything against prog rock, but that just isn't prog rock. That isn't what you were expecting.
That's not what I wanted to see or hear.
No.
But I wasn't disappointed with Leon Russell, though.
You know, if you'd gone along expecting the Six Wives of Henry VIII, and that's what you got, you would have been quite happy with it.
Well, yes. Although if I went expecting the Six Wives of Henry VIII and I only got four of them, I'd be unhappy. But if I got 10 of them, that would have been too many wives.
I didn't actually feel that way. I know they opened with a six-minute version of, I think it was Day at the Races or whichever it was.
Once a song's pushing up to 6 minutes, it's almost prog rock by definition,
isn't it? It's true. They opened with a galloping
six-minute. Did I hear you starting to play Willen then?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how the riff goes, but I probably dropped G somewhere, but...
If we were thinking, Jeff could have bought his guitar in, I could have bought mine in, we could have had an on-air jam. Beautiful.
I've been something, kicked by the snow, what have I been done, Bill? I've had my something other, and my head stoved in, and I'm still.
Willem.
Smuggled some smokes and dopes from Mexico. Every time I go to Mexico, something else, and I'm still
well.
And I've been from Tucson to Tooncarry, to Hatchapeet and Tonopah. I've driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. Driven the back roads so I wouldn't get way. And if you give me wheat, white, channel wine, and you show me a sign, then I'll be willing to keep on moving.
Lovely work, Greg Champion with his guitar. There'll be more of that in the last hour of the program. This is the final edition of the Could Have Been Champion Saturday Soiree. Jackson Browne with Danny Kortchmar in support, singing harmony, recorded live in room 124 at the Holiday Inn in Edwardsville, Illinois.
I wonder what the folks in room 124 thought of that.
Well, they were getting a free song. Let's hope they were Jackson Browne fans. That was from the Running on Empty album. Forward promoted a couple of times that Robert Bradley would be joining in this hour. From Escapade, currently competing in the Melbourne to Hobart yacht race, he will be joining us in the next hour. He's been having communication problems on Escapade, but he'll be joining us and we can talk yachting, because Could Have Beens are yachting.
Did you say Jackson Browne recorded it in a motel room?
Yes, a lot of that album, Running on Empty, was recorded on the fly, on the road, in hotel rooms, at sound checks.
They must have had pretty good gear for the day to do that.
Oh, I think they had an oral exciter.
A talent improver.
It's news time.